Hello, and welcome to IndieInterviews.com, a weekly radio show where we interview independent musicians to get their perspective on their music, their history, and the world around their art. On this show, your host Garrison Reed will sit down with Ernest Salas of the Austin band I Love You But I've Chosen Darkness.
If we want to spend a whole day exploring a guitar sound, we can do it. It might not be the best for our mental psyche, but we can do it.
I Love You But I've Chosen Darkness represents a merging of musicians from other bands, Paul Newman, Windsor for the Derby, and Glorium. They have recently signed to Secretly Canadian and are working on a follow-up full-length to their 2003 self-titled EP. Here's a snippet of When You Go Out off that 2003 self-titled EP. Your host, Garrison Reed, sat down with Ernest Salas to discuss the band's upcoming release, choosing a new label, and a new producer.
This band is made of members of other known bands, the Glorium, Paul Newman, and Windsor for the Derby. How did the fusion of these bands come about?
Well, all of us grew up in Austin playing music together back in the 90s. And, all our bands either had broken up or band members had moved out of town, and it was only a matter of time before all of us got in touch with each other again and started playing music again. It was pretty local, pretty fun, mostly just friends getting together.
It's been 2 years since the release of the first EP, and as this new album comes out, do you feel that you've tried to stay on the path started with the EP?
No, actually, I think what we're trying to do is do something different from the EP. The EP grew out of our resources at the time and just where we were at, like 3 years ago, basically. So now it's a different process, a different group of people recording us. And I think what we're trying to do now is just use technology to our advantage and use a different group of sounds, a wider group of sounds that'll help us get the kind of sounds that we wanted to even 3 years ago for the EP, but we just couldn't.
Is there a track on the EP that you see as representative of the direction of the new record?
Actually, no. I don't think any of those songs sound anything like what we're going to be recording and what we're recording right now. I think the EP was just a different time. Three years in a band's lifetime is a lot of time. So those changes are just evolutionary within the band.
You've recently signed to Secretly Canadian, and with members of this band having worked with other labels such as Secretly Canadian and Trans Syndicate and Young God, how did Secretly Canadian become the future home of this band?
Well, Secretly Canadian are first and foremost, they're a bunch of great guys. They've been into our band since we first came out, and they've always been interested in putting our records out, and that's basically it. They've just been really into the group, and I guess what we're doing now is something they want to put out. I don't think Secretly Canadian had any rock bands, per se, on their roster. So having us on there is sort of a new thing for them, and for us joining forces with a real Midwestern indie label that's on the up and up, and they're just getting bigger and better all the time. I think it's just a great combination.
In the past 3 years, you've published 7 songs, 5 on the EP, and a 2-track single. Now that you've come to the point of writing a full-length, featuring an assumed track list of more than 7 tracks, is this intimidating?
The work that we have ahead of us regarding the record is what's daunting right now. We have a lot of material, and just going through all the tracks, instrument by instrument, sound by sound, part by part, microphone by microphone, that's the daunting task that we have in front of us. We have no shortage of material, so we're in the great creative part where we're just writing parts and recording them and exploring sounds, and so we're totally happy about the state of affairs right now for the band.
Great. What is the pace of y'all's songwriting?
Well, the songwriting is almost intertwined with the recording process. What we usually do is get together in various groups and record or write, or both. I mean, we generally record what we write as we do it, and then it's actually a long process. I'll just I'll cut it down to that. It's a really long process, but it's just how you do it. I mean, you get 5 people in a room with 5 different opinions, you're gonna end up with 5 times as many heartaches. You know, that's kind of how it goes.
Your 2003 self-titled EP was recorded by friend and fellow Austinite Britt Daniel. What was the process of recording with him?
Well, Britt's another friend from Austin. We've known Britt for years, and we asked him to help us record our debut EP, and Britt was sweet enough to really take charge of the whole project. He had a lot to do with getting the studio time for us, helping us during our rehearsals with figuring out what songs we wanted to do, and he really made the EP happen as far as we were concerned. In the studio with Britt was awesome. Britt's really creative, and it's all about energy in the studio. You have to have energy just to explore any idea, even if it's a dead end. That dead end could possibly take you to another idea that you might not have thought about before. So, I don't know if you've heard the new Spoon record, but there's so many layers to what he does that I think that's part of what we got out of that experience, was just letting things happen and exploring layers of sound and just kind of going with it. It was an awesome experience.
And it seems with Spoon, each time they finish a record, each time they get a new record coming up, the more money, the more studio time, it's just more time for him to explore.
And luckily they have the good fortune of having their own studio. And so now we have our own studio with that we share with Andrew Nose by the Trello Dead. And so we're sort of in the same situation where if we want to spend a whole day exploring a guitar sound, we can do it. It might not be the best for our mental psyche, but we can do it. It's awesome to just be able to not feel rushed by the studio clock ticking in the background.
This new release will be recorded, or has it already has been recorded?
We're in the process of recording right now.
Okay. With Paul Barker of Ministry?
Right.
How was this process compared to that with Britt?
Well, they're 2 different people. The project with Britt, our debut EP with Britt, was very... The actual recording was quick, and we didn't have a lot of time to really get the kind of sounds that we wanted to. So, you just record on the fly. You kind of spend as little time as you can on things that don't matter as much, and you have to make quick decisions. But as far as, it's awesome. Paul Barker is an amazing producer and engineer. But we're also faced with our own issues recording right now. I mean, we basically started our own studio from scratch, getting our gear together, getting our mics together, getting issues that just come up when you're creating a studio. So it's been frustrating on that level as well, but that's just part of the process. I think that struggle of trying to get your sound across happens on on every level of when you're working on a record, from writing the songs to playing them live to being in the studio. I mean, there's always some kind of struggle involved with that.
Secretly Canadian has not released the title of the upcoming LP. How, as an artist, do you decide the title of a recording?
I think that usually comes after you hear the record in its totality. I think the whole time you're recording and working on the material, those parts and songs, you're trying to put a face to them. You're trying to give them an identity. And it's really hard to give something a predisposed identity before you even know what it's going to sound like or what it's going to be. So right now we're just letting things stew. We're letting things occur organically, and hopefully when the record comes out from our studio and we get to finally hear the final product, we'll already be sort of ready to give it an identity, you know.
And that's kind of interesting that your EP is titled something that you're not anymore, and so like this new record, it should in theory be a self-titled, this is what we are,
right?
And that opportunity doesn't exist, right?
Well, it's, you know, I would be totally happy with just calling it I Love You But I've Chosen Darkness CD, yeah, or I Love You But I've Chosen Darkness LP, whatever that format is. Mm-hmm. The name is so arbitrary at this point. I mean, just like our song titles, I feel like a lot of that is just, those are decisions that have to be made after the song exists as it's done. So we'll see. I'll let you know.
Thanks for listening to IndieInterviews.com, a weekly podcast where we interview independent musicians. More information about our guests today, I Love You But I've Chosen Darkness, can be found on their website, chosendarkness.com. Music samples in this show are from the band's 2003 self-titled EP release. For more information on their upcoming release, visit secretlycanadian.com. For more information, including a transcript of this interview, please visit IndieInterviews.com. For feedback on this podcast and the materials used in its production, send your thoughts to indieinterviews@gmail.com. Thanks again. See you next week.